Loving Liberty Network is excited to present Ask an Immigrant, a weekly radio show by Lydia Wallace Nuttall and immigrants from all over the world who share their personal stories as to why they came to America. Lydia is the author of Forgotten American Stories, Celebrating America's Constitution, and an executive board member for We the Kids, with the mission to put God back into America's history and to inspire kids to value liberty and our United States Constitution and to be proud to be Americans.
Welcome, everyone, to Ask an Immigrant, dedicated to helping us and our rising generation to value, have gratitude for, and appreciate what we have here in this great country, America. I'm proud to be an American, and you can be too. I'm Lydia Nuttall, and today we invite you to listen to our special guest, Kelvin. Kelvin, welcome to Ask an Immigrant.
Thank you, Lydia. I'm glad to be here.
We are so happy to have you on because I have never yet asked questions of and interviewed someone from Africa. I am so thrilled you're my first to represent your great country of Africa. So, Kelvin, if you can tell us, where in Africa are you from?
All right. Thank you. A lot of people think Africa is just one country, but I know there's about 53 countries plus, yes. They are all independent states. So my country is called Zambia. It's a former British colony. Colonization of Africa has a lot of influence from the colonial masters that were in charge of each one of these countries. So you will see that as you go in history, countries that are located in the southeast part of Africa, they were mainly colonized by the British. And then the western side of Africa was colonized by the French. We have a few Portuguese colonies as well. So in my case, Zambia was colonized by the British. So everything that we do in Zambia is kind of British based or influenced, like our political system, our parliamentary system, even our education system, everything is mirrored based on the British system.
Well, that's fascinating. Okay, so I've already learned something. I stand corrected. It's true. Africa is a continent. Just like America, North America is a continent, and the United States of America is part of that North American continent because we have Canada as part of that North American continent. And you have, I'm looking at my globe. I have a globe right here on my desk where we record Ask an Immigrant. And Zambia is in the middle of the tip, the southern tip of Africa. And it looks like you have... okay, so if kids are listening to this, we all, or even adults, we all know the movie Madagascar. So if you can look on the globe or a map, everyone who's listening, and find Madagascar, it's a huge island off the coast of the southern tip of Africa on the east side. So you have Madagascar. Then you have part of the Indian Ocean separating Madagascar from the African continent. Then you have Mozambique. And then you have Zambia shares a border of Mozambique. Also looks like Zimbabwe, Botswana. No, not, maybe Botswana, just a tiny tip
Botswana. Yeah, Botswana is part of the neighboring country,
Okay, and then Namibia, Angola, Democratic Republic of Congo, and Tanzania. Holy cow.
Correct.
You have, and then it looks like something called Malawi.
Malawi.
You have a lot of countries that border Zambia.
Correct. And Zambia is the very center of it. So we have no access to the sea coast. Even though we have no access to the sea coast, geographically, we are called the land of lakes. We have so many lakes within Zambia.
I see them. There's some big ones, too. Big long ones, like fingers.
Yeah.
Wow. So Zambia is the center of attention in Southern Africa.
That is it. That is, yeah, because they say if you have been to Africa, never been to Zambia, then you have not seen Africa.
Aha. some African pride there. Well,
there's
that
some
is
African
awesome.
Pride, yeah. Yeah.
Just
yeah.
a tad. Well, yeah. So share with us. I would love to just jump right in and find out from you what got you started to think about leaving Africa.
Zambia.
And was there were kind of the chain of events or your thought processes? Did you consider looking at other countries to immigrate to, or you know, jump into
you
that?
You know,
for
growing
us?
Up, you know, growing up as a you know, I was taught by, you know, British teachers, you know, so I never thought America as the last place I wanted to go. I wanted to go to the UK or Australia, you know, that was kind of my initial dream as a child. I, you know, if I were to leave Zambia to go to a foreign country, I would go to the UK or England, Scotland or Wales or Northern Ireland, you know, because,
yeah.
you know, I would easily relate to the British because the culture and everything that they brought to Zambia was still predominant in our Zambian culture. You know, so it was very easy. And a lot of people that went for furthering their education, they always talked about going to England, you know, like a lot of government people in the Zambian government, most of them were educated at either Oxford University or places like that, you know. So growing up, I always saw myself going to Europe, not America. And then,
so
as then I grew,
what happened?
Yeah, as I grew a little bit older and then I kind of understood the politics of the world, you know, it still didn't bother me that, you know, it was more like, oh, America was just this bully superpower kind of a country. And my teachers would always tell me, you know, going to middle school, they'd be like, yeah, make sure you always choose a country where they will understand your language. Because for example, we had a lot of people from the Congo coming into Zambia because a lot of countries around Zambia had experienced civil wars except Zambia at the time. So Zambia was hosting a lot of refugees, but they spoke different languages, and even their official language was in French. Angola is a Portuguese colony, so when we had refugees from Angola, they were speaking Portuguese. So it was a little bit hard to see those kind of struggles, people speaking a foreign language in your country, and then you couldn't understand them and you could not know how to help them. So I always learned from my teachers that always go to a country where you'll be able to easily understand the language or speak the language. That way you can get opportunities that you need in that given country.
Which would make sense.
Yeah, it makes sense to, you know, to assimilate or to, you know, have opportunities or whatever you needed. You know, and then I had an opportunity. My life changed completely when I joined the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. I had a different view of America that I've never seen before. Yeah, so because I had missionaries that came to Zambia from the United States, and then some of them became my roommates, some of them became my companions that I worked with on a daily basis, and then we'll talk about, you know, what it's like to be in America or what it's like to live in America. And then that kind of changed my view of it, because I had direct influence from the people from America that I had spend time with for at least a good solid 2 years.
So I think, excuse me, I think what's interesting is that you mentioned in middle school you learned from your teachers who were obviously pro England, pro-UK, pro-anything British,
Europe,
that did I hear you say that like Americas were like oppressive or something, the
I
flavor?
I think the way they painted it is like it is just a superpower that...
Oh, superpower. You there know, you go. Superpower. Yeah, which I think is funny because England was... England
the
superpower?
Empire,
oh my gosh. It like ruled most of the world. And, you know, America was, you know, back in the day was like nothing. We didn't even have a Navy back in the day when we became the United States of America. So I think that's kind of a funny dialogue. But I love what you pointed out, that when you got to know real Americans, that's when you realized, oh, that there's a different side of the story, and maybe America isn't what was portrayed to you in your youth.
Correct.
So then what happened? Okay, so now you're starting to see another side that maybe America is pretty good.
Yeah, and then I after I graduated high school, I also served a 2-year volunteer mission for the church, and I went to Zimbabwe, which is just neighboring country to Zambia. Mm-hmm. And they speak English in Zimbabwe as well. So it was not like a different, so much difference in terms of the geographical location was different, but some of the cultural things were pretty much the same. So I served there for 2 years. And then when I got back, I was thinking about going to the University of Zambia. And then... I had a friend at the University of Zambia, you know, I was talking to him. He said something to me that kind of changed my whole thought process. He told me that if I were you, I would go to America. And then I asked him why. And he said, because their constitution allows opportunity for everybody. I'm like, okay, that sounds very appealing to me, because if the constitution allows opportunity for everybody, then I stand a better chance in America.
So let's stop you there. So what was Zambia like? Do they not have a constitution? Is there not that kind of opportunity there? What kind of opportunities were you maybe wanting that you couldn't have in Zambia?
Yes. You know, politically, Zambia has been stable to the eyes of the world, you know. But overall, their policies politically were more aligned with communism in the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
Because Zambia became independent from the British in 1964, that changed the politics of the country, whereby they nationalized all the private industry that were owned by the foreigners. You know, and as a result of the nationalization, the economy was controlled 100% by the Zambians. And as a result, there was no private investment that was coming into the country. Everything was either run by the government or a government agency, including loaf of bread, including supermarkets, including just different aspects of our lives. And then because Zambia's economy is copper-based, like it's based on mining, Zambia is among the top copper producers in the world. So when the copper prices started dropping, they could not sustain the economy. So everything was just running down in terms of economically.
So I didn't know Zambia was one of your greatest industries was copper mining. Is that what you said? Okay, I gotcha. So when the copper prices went down, then it would sink your whole country down if your country was
dependent on your copper. Yeah, and then that sank the whole country down. So there was this political whirlwind that was, you know, now taking place. And then there was a change of government. The first change of government happened in 1991. That was the first democratically kind of elections that were held. And multi-partyism started back in that country in 1991. But all of, from 1964, only one political party ruled the country, and their policies was more aligned with that of communism, that of socialism a little bit, because they got a lot of support from Russia. They got a lot of financing from China. You know, so in order to get those kind of assistance from these countries, they would ask them to implement some of their similar policies that those countries were, you know, promoting. Yeah, so it was a little bit different.
So
fast forward to 2000, you know, that's when I started thinking about seriously, you know, going to America.
And then, so how did you, I'll ask this of someone else, how did you get here? And she said, by plane. I'm like, well, yeah, I guess so. You're not going to row a boat across the Atlantic Ocean to get to America. Did you come here by yourself? Did you come with friends? Did you know anyone here in America when you came? Where did you go?
Because now, as I said earlier, I'd been exposed with my American friends that I'd served with during my voluntary 2-year period. And some of them on my mission, and some of them were even encouraging me. Hey, you're so smart. You can do well at BYU. You can, you know, and you'll be lucky if you can even find a wife there. No kind of thing.
Oh boy, love will do it every time. You'll leave everything behind for love, right?
I know. You know, so
that's funny.
You know, so you know, I you know, that kind of intrigued me, and then when I came home, I started, you know, that conversation with that my friend from the University of Zambia. He kind of also sealed the nail for me, and I even at the time the internet in Africa was just kind of not so highly vested in terms of access to information. So I had to go to like an internet, we used to though call them internet cafes, where you have to search the web, but you have to be paid by the minute.
Oh my. Wow.
Yeah. So I would, whatever extra money I would go, I would spend hours in this internet cafe looking at university schools in America and colleges and finding scholarships. So people were just like, oh, what do you do on the web? And, you know, a lot of people, you know, back in the day, there was MySpace before Facebook. Back in the day, MySpace was like the biggest thing. They thought I was just doing MySpace. I'm like, no, I don't even have time for MySpace. I'm looking for opportunities, searching for scholarships, searching for colleges. And then I wrote an email to one of the scholarship offices explaining my situation, because my background is, you know, I have a physical disability. That was one of them. And then two, they explained to me it's very difficult with a person of disability to adjust in terms of travel, in terms of campus life. What is it that makes you different? And then I just told them, like, you know, I've been doing this all my life. I have strong muscles. I walk everywhere I go. That should not be a problem. So I had to prove to myself that, you know, if they gave me a scholarship, I would be able to, I would not be depending on other people to take care of me.
Got it. So you, I'm assuming you got a scholarship?
Yeah, I got a scholarship.
And that's what brought you to America? Okay.
Yeah, I got a full scholarship. It was a full ride. So I was so lucky. Yeah.
That is wonderful. So I want to back up a tad. So let's pretend you're on that flight, you're coming over to America. What were some of your first thoughts and impressions of America when you arrived?
Okay. That's a very interesting question because, so what had happened was after I'd gotten the scholarship, I contacted some of my friends, say, hey guys, I need a plane ticket. I have a full ride to scholarship to come to BYU. So I need money for to buy a plane ticket. And so they organized themselves and everybody chipped in $200 here, $200 there, $300 there, until I needed about $1,500 or $1,600 to get a plane ticket. So everybody did that, and the moment I received the money, I went straight to buy the ticket because I didn't want to, either lose the money or somebody tricked me into losing the money, arguing. So I was very, very cautious. I went straight and bought the ticket. And then a few days before I was to leave, I was reading. I had gone to go when I went to get my visa. They gave me that I can only come in America at least 30 days before my school started.
Oh no, and you had already
Yeah,
bought your ticket. Was
I
it
don't bought.
before 30 days?
No, so what had happened was at the embassy they gave me a hard time to get me the visa also, because before I bought the ticket I'd already gone to the embassy to apply for a student visa.
Got it.
So when I went to apply for the student visa, they gave me a hard time to give me the visa. This guy could not just give me the visa. He was just asking me, what makes you that you're gonna come back to Zambia when I give you the visa? I couldn't give him a specific convincing answer that he was satisfied with. So he just gave me, oh, maybe you just wanna go and see the Empire State Building. He gave me all these things. You just wanna go on government welfare when you go to America. He wanted me to understand that coming to America was not about seeking for welfare assistance, seeking for, government help. I'm like, I'm going to school, and the reason why I'm going to school is to become more independent for myself. And then, so he told me that he was not going to make the decision himself. He would let his boss make the decision because he was afraid he was going to make a decision that he will regret for the rest of his life. I was like, man, that's so big that even himself couldn't make the decision. So he asked me to go sit down, and then when his manager came in, he called me, say, oh, this young man, I'm trying to explain to him that he should understand federal law about, responsibility when you go to America and everything. And then I was there standing, listening to this conversation between the two of them, and his boss just tell him, you know what? Just give him a chance. Just give him a chance. And then the conversation was over, and say, come at 3 o'clock and get your visa. So I went back at 3 o'clock, and I got my visa back. And then I went home, and then 2 days later I got the money to buy the tickets for the flight. And then that's when I realized that I bought the ticket way too early than what they had asked me in the visa thing.
Oh
And
dear.
then I was like, oh my goodness, should I go back and refund it? Can I, ask for a change of flight? So I talked to this American friend of mine that was already in Zambia at the time. She had an NGO that she was running in Zambia. I explained to her my situation. She said, don't worry. You can still go to America. They will just arrest you when you get to the border, I mean, at the checkpoint, and put you in detention for 30 days. And then when you're after 30 days, they're going to release you, and then you can go to your school. I was
Oh
just
my
like
goodness.
devastated
So,
because,
don't worry,
I'll
you'll
be
just be
entering the country
incarcerated.
illegally. I was
So
like,
you were.
man.
So that was your first experience of being in America, was being incarcerated because you were there 30 days early.
30 days early, correct. So
Oh
in my
my
mind, as
goodness.
I, when I boarded the flight, I was not so much worried, because my flight went from Lusaka, which is the capital of Zambia, and it went to Johannesburg in South Africa. And then from Johannesburg, I went to, I went to Holland.
Oh, wow.
I went to Holland, and then from Holland, I came to Minneapolis, St. Paul.
Oh, my. Okay. Wow, so that was quite the trip.
Yeah, the flight from Amsterdam to Minneapolis, that kind of unsettled me because I was worried about going to jail the first day I come to America. You know, so
let's fast forward to now you're released from jail after 30 days of getting here too early. What were some of your first thoughts then of what you observed with America? Did you go to a grocery store? Were you just, or you know, did, just share with us what were some of your impressions?
I think the impressions were not as surprising because a lot of, you know, when people tell you how it is, when you get here, this side is, this side is, it's very difficult to understand until you experience it. You know, so when I got here, I did not know whether $5 was expensive buying something.
Mm-hmm.
Because the currency in Zambia at the time was, you know, our dollar was like in thousands, $1 was equivalent to 5,000 at the time, 5,000 kwachas. So it was very difficult to quantify the money into the Zambian thinking to really decide for me whether I'm paying more money for something.
Mm-hmm.
Less money, because I had to think it in terms of, so in my country I was spending $10, which is equivalent to $2. Oh, that's not too bad.
So the currency was an adjustment to get used to. Did you say that one of our American dollars was worth 5,000 of your
Zambian currency at the time?
Holy cow. Wow. So then I want to ask you the final question, but I have a little tiny one before that. The tiny one before I ask you the final question is there something that you left behind in Zambia that you don't miss? In essence, did you find what you were looking for here in America?
I think I have found what I was looking for. Part of it was mainly the opportunity for job, for business, for just being safe in a country where I can know that I have, you know, the police is not going to arrest me and put me in jail without a cause or without evidence.
Because did that happen in Zambia a lot?
Zambia at the time was going through a lot of political turmoil. Even when I left, I remember having this conversation at the airport with some of my Zambian immigration officers. They are like, oh, so you're going to America? Wow. How did you pull that one off? You know? So a lot of people would ask me this kind of, you know, they were kind of shocked because I had no political ties. My family are not these big political players in the country or in the political system. Those were the people that were viewed as going to places like America at the time because they had people within the government that they knew, who knew somebody in America or who knew somebody in Europe, because they travel all the time. But for an ordinary citizen like myself, it was kind of a shocking news when they saw me going to a country like America at the time. They were like, wow, that's so cool. How did you put that on? You know, and I couldn't understand why they were really asking me those kind of questions, but now I understand it. Each time I look back, I do understand why they would be asking me, how did you put that one off? Even some of the security officers at the embassy themselves, they were really dumbfounded that a person like me would be granted a visa to come to America.
Because, am I reading correctly between the lines, the Zambian people did not have the liberty to just randomly leave their country?
To just randomly leave, yeah. And, you know, you have to have kind of some backing of some sort from either a government official or,
wow,
you know, you have to have some connection. Things work with connections anywhere in the world, but the connection in Zambia is more through political players, through somebody you know who has more money than you are, you know, and they had no record of such kind of connections. So they were just dumbfounded that, you know, I was making such a move.
We could call that then a miracle.
That is. Yeah.
So can you share with us, especially with our American young people, that if you could share a 1-minute message with us today, what would it be?
I think my message that I would share with the American young people is that, you know, be proud of your country, be proud of, you know, being born in the country where you have all the opportunities lined up for you in your life. Back home in Zambia or growing up in Africa, opportunities were not just lining up for us. We had to work maybe 5 times harder to be able to, you know, to get good grades, to get those opportunities that we were looking for. They were very slim, but when those opportunities came, only a few people were able to take up those opportunities. So being as a young person in America, I would just encourage you to be open-minded as well, and also, you know, have an immigrant as a friend to learn more about those struggles that they went through to come to America. And one of the biggest reactions I've always received is like, oh, I'll never leave my family to live in a foreign country. You know, only an American can say that. But the rest of the world, I still talk to my family in Zambia. I still have siblings in Zambia. You know, yeah, so it's just a miracle when people think like, I'll never leave my family to go to another country. In my understanding, I'll say, I think only an American can say that. But the rest of the world, they will do whatever it takes to come to America. I still have friends that are still asking me, how can I come to America? I say, if you have an opportunity to go through school, that's how I did it myself. If you go through school, you have 4 years to figure things out. Then life will be just totally different.
Well, Kelvin, thank you so much for sharing all this with us.
Lydia, I appreciate you inviting me to your show. I hope to come back one day in the future.
Yeah, I will write down some questions. I do have more questions, but we are out of time. But thank you for joining us. Thank you for sharing your story, your insights, your perspective, especially your message. That's probably my favorite part of every Ask an Immigrant show is hearing your messages, because they help me value even more and appreciate even more what I have here in America that I've had all my life. So thank you.
Okay, it's been my pleasure. Thank you and have a good day.
Okay, take care. So to all of you who are listening, if you or someone you know is an immigrant to America and would like to share your story on Ask an Immigrant, you can contact me at Lydia, that's Lydia, at lovingliberty.net. In the meantime, thank you for joining me and Kelvin today from Zambia, Africa. Now go forth, stand up today for liberty in your life.